want to turn for our text tonight in Exodus, the 14th chapter. Warm up the amen a little bit. Everybody say it. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, warm it up a little more.
Amen.
That sounds a little better. Everybody feel all right? We appreciate every one of you that are here tonight. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. And I don't know why I'm so excited about all this. I assume that I'll not tell you anything new. But the Lord is good. And I feel the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul wrote one time, he said, I speak these things not by commandment, but by permission, and I think I have the Spirit of God. He's saying, my judgment is good. I feel, because I feel God when I'm telling you what I'm telling you. So I feel the Lord when as I speak to you tonight, talk to you. And I want the Lord to speak to all of us through His Word. 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. The one came not near the other all the night. Notice first part of verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and of Israel. And I want to talk to you tonight about the subject, between the camps. Between the camps. According to the Word of God, all of these things are written for our admonition. There are lessons that we should all be able to learn from the Word of God. It's a sad thing in our witnessing if Acts 2:38 is all we ever know.
That's the truth.
Peter didn't have that fall on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls was added to them. He didn't have Acts 2:38 to reach and pull out of the hat. He had to go back and see the promise of it all interwoven in the prophecy that was given to the men of faith as they were moved and inspired and moved on by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I feel that we should be no less educated in the Word of God ourselves today, that we should learn more than just Acts 2:38. I think it's the purpose of the church to learn more. I think it's our responsibility to learn and see how the promises of God were brought from just a plan into reality.
Right.
And the plan was brought into being and existence through the fulfillment of the Word of God.
Right.
We can talk about things that used to be, but somehow if we're not careful, we'll never project God as being a God that is still in business.
Right.
Hallelujah. I appreciate what Brother Rendell said, his testimony to the man that was either had him on trial or just making good honest inquisition, whichever the case may have been. I think that we need to learn. We need to learn that there are some things that are true that never change. Never change. Never change. The sun is a stable object. It is a fastened object. If it ever moves, we'd be in trouble. If it got too close, we could all burn to death. If it got too far away, we could all freeze to death. But God has got the business set in orbit so that the earth rotate, and all the other planetary systems rotate around. And there are some things out in the planetary systems that never change, they never move. They're God's stability that He placed there for a purpose. And there are things that may move around them, and they may change their position, and they may change a lot of things. But those things which God put as stable things, they never change. And there are truths that never change. It's always true. It's always right. There may be approaches, there may be tactics, there may be methods of producing the same truth, but truth is always truth. It never changes. That's the reason one fellow used to say all the time, if you always tell the truth, you can forget how you told it. You don't ever have to remember it. But when you lie, you've got to remember it, and it's hard to remember that. But it's an easy thing to remember truth. Praise the Lord. But truth is right. In Peter's letter to the church, now, back to our text, between the camps. Keep in mind the light to Israel, but the same thing that produced light to Israel became darkness to Egypt. Now, that's strange, isn't it? Well, it's no small wonder, really, when you look into the scope of the New Testament writer, the Apostle Peter, inspired of the same Spirit. In the second chapter of 1 Peter, beginning at verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. What's Peter saying here? Well, he's saying there are some folks that just don't appreciate learning right from wrong. And the same thing that some folks jump up and down about and excited about and get all worked up about is the same thing that depresses others. That's the reason it's the same thing sometimes when you look at the congregation from this side of the pulpit. The preacher is preaching and he's plowed one guy's garden and just turned over all the new ground, just plowed it up and exposed everything that's deep within the earth. And he's sitting there with his chin on his shoe top while somebody else is so excited they got their hands in the air reaching out to glory for more. Hallelujah. What makes the difference? It's the same word, but it affects people different. It depends on which side of it that you're looking at. It depends upon which side that you're standing on. It depends upon which side of the land that God has drawn that you're standing on. Let me encourage you tonight. Get on the winning side, and everything will look good. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord a little bit. Hallelujah. If some Egyptian had a woman in the temple of Israel and talked about all the darkness over there, it would have been a hard thing for them to have understood. Darkness? I don't see any darkness. What are you talking about? Go down into the land of Goshen, when Egypt was smitten with darkness throughout all Egypt. Even though the sun may have come out somewhere way above, up in the atmosphere somewhere, but all of Egypt was dark except one little spot where God's people was, and there was light in the land of Goshen. And if you'd ask them, experienced or unlearned Israelite, hey, reckon how all the Egyptians feel about the darkness. What darkness are you talking about? It's all light where I come from. And I'm afraid sometimes we're so busy basking in the sunlight of God's great love, we forget the darkness that's out there. Hallelujah. I don't mean that we should be desirous to return to it. God forbid. But I believe that there are some that are out there stumbling between the camps somewhere that caught a little ray of light from our camp and they smelled the manna that God had in the ovens of heaven cooking for us. And I believe that they need to hear about this glorious truth. Hallelujah. 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 Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
We weren't always in the camp of victory, most of us.
Right.
We We went through periods of darkness before we ever really sold out to God. And we went through darkened times, even though we may have been reaching for God. Some of you that maybe came out of other churches in religious beliefs and so forth. There was a time when you were more or less, could I use the term? I don't want it to sound like a cliche, but at the same time, I want us to understand where we're at tonight and where a lot of folks around us are at. Now, there was a time when some of you were more or less between the camps. You did not really consider yourself an addiction because you were reaching for God in all the way that you knew. But yet there were some people that seemed to be right in the camp of God's big spotlight that never knew that you were there. And you were stumbling around in the darkness until some observant and prayerful and sensitive person to the moving of the Holy Ghost got you by the spiritual hand of God and led you to God's glorious light. That's the reason Peter didn't leave it at all on assembling, but he said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, that you should show for the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad He didn't leave me stumbling between the camps somewhere. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I wasn't left out there stumbling over the Word of God. The Apostle Peter said, some stumble at the Word, but listen to a man after God's own heart. The Word is a light unto my pathway and a lamp unto my feet. Hallelujah. 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 I've watched it time and time again. The Holy Ghost would be moving around here and other places as well. And there would be a mighty inspiration and anointing of God in the pulpit. And the same Spirit that caused others to lift their hands in spiritual ecstasy and worship and love God has made and stirred up a lot of people. And they got out and stormed out of the church and slammed the door behind them and declared that they're never coming back. You know why? Because they're disobedient to the Word. And it becomes a stumbling stone to them. But to us who believe, it is precious. Hallelujah. 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 When I was a child, I used to hear the preachers talk about the tribulation period, and they talked about the end of the world, and they just nearly scare me out of my pants. Right? They'd stand there and they'd talk about the end of the world just like there's going to be a Sunday school picnic. But see, they knew something I didn't know. And I'd hear some old saint right in the middle. I thought the preacher was painting one of the darkest pictures that I'd ever seen hung on a canvas before. And all he talked about the world being in terrible trouble. And he talked about the elements that was going to melt with fervent heat. And I remember the preacher quoting Malachi 4:1. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Oh, that sounded terrible to me. But then he'd go right on into the New Testament, follow right on through Matthew's account of Jesus' expositing the things that were concerning the end of time, and wind up over there in the book of Revelation of Jesus of Christ according to St. John, and he'd talk about the terrible time that was coming, and right in the middle of it all, some well-established saint would jump up and hoopee like old Brother Freeman does and get so excited that they didn't know what to do. Hallelujah! 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 And I saw the preacher lift their hands a lot of times, say, even so, come Lord Jesus. And I used to think, my, if it's going to be all of that, why in the world are you calling out for that? But you see, I was still between the camp out there somewhere. I wasn't in the light inside of it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I wasn't in the spotlight. I'm glad to be right over there in the light, Brother Russell. That would have been a different story. I'd have been right there in my two cents. Amen. Come on, Ted.
Hallelujah. Because just like during the Depression, the same thing that brought disaster to a lot of people, some people made a million and became millionaires because of the Depression. It just depended on where you was at and how you were hooked up.
Huh? That's the reason the book of Amos in the 5th chapter, about verse 19, he said, "Warn you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you?" What's it going to mean to you?
It's not going to mean the same thing to everybody. 1,000 times, no. To some, it's going to be the darkest day they have ever known in history. The Depression's going to look like a Sunday school picnic to them. The tribulation period is going to look like a Sunday school picnic to them. When the day comes, and the Lord splits east and sky, and they look upon Him that was pierced for their sins, and they look upon the one that died, and they rejected all of their life. I tell you, I believe that's going to be the most terrible day that a man could ever know. But the most who believe,
when God has something in mind, He knows how to interweave it into motion to get the stage set and let the curtain fall and say, "Action!" And just let everything begin to move. See, God's got a plan. And we need to recognize that there are a lot of people outside of the tent that are stumbling around between the tents. See? Well, they can't get to. Oh, yes, they can. There's been a change in things, not a truth, but there's been a change in the thing that God set in motion to begin with. Now the wall of petition has been taken down. The Egyptians can walk right into the temple of God as long as they're willing to live by God's rules. When I move and submit my desire to live in time left, I must be willing to live according to the rules of this city. I can't try to hold City Hall to the rules of Monroe. I'm in a different country now. I'm going to have to abide by these rules, not those rules. And when you come into God's camp, you're going to have to be willing to abide by God's rules and not the camp of the Egyptians anymore.
Say, "Well, I'm used to this." Well, forget what you're used to, and let's look at God's rules. Look and see what it's got to say.
Hallelujah. If you want to be in the camp of the Lord, if you want to eat dinner from the Lord's table, if you want to have the light shining upon your pathway, then you got to walk in the light as He is in the light, and then we'll have fellowship one with another.
Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Hallelujah. Would you let me preach to you a few more minutes? Hallelujah. 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 The Lord spoke to Abel.
In the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'd like to turn read because there's, but I'm afraid I'll start touching base on a lot of things and I'm going to have to hurry along here.
But the Lord simply told Abraham, He said, "I'm going to make a covenant with you, Abram." And He said, "I want you to take all your children and have them circumcised. Because if they're going to be your seed and your offspring, they're going to have to fall under the covenant that I made with you as their papa."
Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm telling you the essence, and you can check it out from the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. You can read it, verse 9. Check it out when you get home, not now.
All right. So the Lord said, "Abraham, but that's not all. If you take a stranger in, and he comes in and abides in your house, and he's going to be a part of your household, I want him circumcised too," they said. Amen. Everybody, if they're going to be a part of your household, they're going to have to be circumcised. Whether you're your child, or whether it's somebody that you bought, or a stranger that just comes in and takes up a bone in your house, if they're going to be a part of you and a part of your blessing, I'm asking you to see circumcised.
Now, just stay with me now. Stay with me. I do want to turn to Colossians, the second chapter. What does that have to do with us? It has a whole lot to do. God made a covenant, and it meant something. It pertains to something that God was working for an ultimate plan in the future somewhere.
Right.
And he told Abraham to do these things, and it was not a light thing. They took it very serious. It was very serious. A little later, I'll show you how serious it was. But I want you to get the relationship so that you'll understand why I'm even bringing it in tonight, so that you won't sit there and wonder, and I want you to follow along with it. In Colossians, the second chapter, begin reading at a real familiar verse to all of us. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sin to the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath been quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
There's enough preaching material there, Paul. What? Yes, sir.
But he said, buried with him in baptism was circumcision. Putting off of uncleanness. That's what circumcision was a type of. Putting away uncleanness from the flesh. And what we are, that's the reason Paul said, having your heart sprinkled from an evil person and your body washed in pure water.
Right.
Wash you, make you clean. What does baptism do? Not literally, but physically. We are washed. We are made clean. Our sins are washed away when we are buried with him, and we are to arise and walk and live the life. I want to show you how important this circumcision business was with God. God did not take it a light thing. After Israel left Egypt, they were circumcised in Egypt. They kept the law of Abraham. But there was some little business that transpired, and they got on the run, and things were different. So here they were after they crossed the Red Sea, and Joshua resumed leadership in Moses' stead. All of a sudden, circumcision lost its importance. And some plans, because we don't understand the use of things and its purpose, we discredit its true value. I remember going on the job, you know, when I was just a child. I walked on the job where my dad was working, and I come to an old scaffolding board, and I kicked that old thing. And, boy, that thing is new. Now, to me, it was something to run and jump and play on. I used to like to put it up on a block or some bricks or whatever, you know, and jump on one end, and we'd make a jump board. One fella get on that end. Wasn't meant to play on. That was a piece of work equipment.
Right.
Now, if we broke the thing, well, so what? Just an old board. But not to the fella that used that to help make his living. It was important to him.
Right.
See, I didn't understand its use. My dad didn't like me to come on the job much because he was afraid us climbing around on ladders, they would just play pretty. I put this tower up, and first thing I knew, Vanessa was halfway up that thing.
Yeah.
Now, it was just a plaything to her, you know. But really, that's not what it was for. And we need to understand. Sometimes because people do not understand about the Word of God and baptism in Jesus' name. I'm telling you why they don't think it's important. Because they don't understand its use and what it was foreshadowed and its real, genuine power. And because of that, they discredit its value. But it's one of the most valuable assets that we have as born-again believers and those that are desirous to follow us and walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So on their busy journey and wandering in the wilderness, they forgot all about circumcision. They all were headed towards the promised land. How many times you heard that? We're all headed for the same place.
Yeah.
I got news from. We're not all headed for the same place.
That's right.
Hell's built for somebody, you hear? But it isn't me.
Glory.
It isn't me. I'm in another tent.
Good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not even between the camps. Hallelujah. I walk right into God's camp. I'm willing to submit to His law. I'm willing to do things like He wants it done. I'm willing to go by His rules. I'm going to apply His power field. I'm going to pass on His rule book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in all the big hustle and bustle that was taking place in their wandering in the wilderness, they forgot about circumcision. So they get across Jordan, and then they get so excited, boy, we're fixing to pass things up, we're fixing to possess this land, and God says, hold it. Not yet. You're not getting a single inheritance yet. Oh, Lord. You brought us this far. Now, what's wrong? There's something that you have forgotten.
Well, right.
Hallelujah.
We got it.
Oh, yeah.
We just lost something.
Glory to God. We fought just like we fought in every battle, Lord.
Yeah.
Come on. We've been right there wrestling with it all. We've been struggling with it all. We've stayed with it all. God, we've seen them. A lot of great things you've done. You can't deny that, Lord. We've seen you work for us. We've seen you do that. I saw right. There's a covenant that I made with your father Abraham, and I am here for you to keep it. Turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua when you get home and look at it. And the Lord told Joshua, you take a sharp stone and you make some sharp stones, because there's a lot of fellows that didn't come up out of Egypt that was born in the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land. And they hadn't been circumcised. This side of the cross, we can well say they hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 So the Lord stopped Joshua and said, hey, nobody gets an inheritance yet. I want my plan fulfilled. I want my covenant sealed. I want my mark on every last one of them. You make yourself sharp knives and stones, and you circumcise everyone that came, that was born in the wilderness, that didn't come up out of Egypt, that's never been circumcised. They were born in the Israeli camp. You circumcised every one of them. And the Bible said after this was done, the Lord turned to Joshua and he said, this day I have brought all the way the reproach of Egypt for all of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They still got that Egyptian mark on them. They still got that Egyptian mark on them. They still got the reproach of Egypt on them. God wants that rolled away. Hallelujah. I say God wants that rolled away. And the only way it can be rolled away is in water baptism, and it can be administered in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. How do you know? They can't inherit anything. Not yet. They can't yet. What's the matter? Ephesians 5:5. Paul just wrote a little lesson to the church of Ephesians. He said, for no unclean person hath an inheritance in the kingdom of God.
He said it.
What you saying? You got to be circumcised. You're unclean. You were. You were considered unclean until you were circumcised. You were considered unclean. So Paul called it up this side of Calvary, and he said, for no unclean person hath an inheritance in the kingdom of God. What do you got to do to be clean? You've got to be circumcised. You've got to have water baptism and minister. You've got to be buried with him. The circumcision of flesh with hands is not going to do it now. We're living in a dispensation where truth is made reality. It is no longer foreshadowed. It is no longer in the shadows and in the darkness. But truth is revealed. True plan of God. The true plan of God, if you please.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Whoa. So, here to get clean, then you have an inheritance. I don't care how many battles you fought. And I'm not discrediting any of that.
Right.
And I'm not discrediting any great things that you've seen God do.
Oh, God.
Or that we've seen God do through other people. But I'm telling you that we need to learn enough about the Word of God so that we can put it in their heart and show them through the types and shadows that this was the purpose and plan of Almighty God for their sins to be remitted in water baptism in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Sure.
Well, what's that got to do with us?
Jesus came and He saw the situation. So they say after He was born, He allowed Himself to be circumcised that He had fulfilled the law.
Right.
But He didn't stop there.
Because He was going to do a work that would catch men both sides of the cross.
That's right.
So He was circumcised 8 days according to the manner of the Jews. But when He became of age and He walked down on the shores of Galilee, John the Baptist said, "I have need to be baptized with you." But Jesus said, "It is necessary that the whose feet are suffered me to fulfill all righteousness." Why, Jesus? Because I'm going to get them back out of the car, and I'm going to get them pushed out of the car. But I'm telling you, if you can't see the importance of water baptism in the name of Jesus, you know why that's darkness to you? Because you're the back side of the car. You need to come the side of it. It made such an uproar. It caused such a great stir. The Lord and His business in earthly ministry. Not just fulfilling the law, but fulfilling all righteousness. That no matter where He went, after He took care of the law and He took care of righteousness, nowhere could He go and remains Himself. He was just like a magnet attracting metal. The Bible said, "And He departed unto a city of Sidon and entered into a house and would have been hid." He wanted to kind of be by Himself, but the Scripture said He could not be hid. And there came to Him a Greek woman, a Syrophoenician woman. "Hey, Greek, what are you doing here? I saw some of the light coming from under the doorway. I seen the light from y'all's camp." I'm telling you why that people are looking into speaking with tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost more today. And it's easier to talk about it to people than it used to be. Because there's been a lot of people through the years somehow that caught a little glimpse of the light from my camp. And somehow, some of the sweet-smelling odor from God's big ovens in heaven where He bakes the manna and just rains it down on us has seeped out. And their nostrils have caught it. And that's the reason they're willing to look and stop and listen and talk to you about it.
Amen.
Don't pray the troublemaker. I know there's a certain amount of them. Joshua experienced the same thing in that chapter in the book of Joshua. Some fellows came to Gibeonites, you know. And they made like the clothes was old, and they took some old moldy bread and some wine bottles that was all shot and gone. And they wanted to make a league with Joshua. Things is looking rough for them. They need to secure their position some way. I'm telling you, there's some folks out there with moldy bread. There's some folks out there with wine bottles that's rent and dried. Their clothes is worn and tattered. They've been staggering and stumbling around between the camps for years and years. Some spiritual alert person needs to get them by the spiritual hand of God and bring them right into God's big life. But you're going to have to handle them with care. They've already fallen on a lot of rocks. They've already been disappointed in a lot of church anarchy. Nothing but the real thing is going to get them anymore. Do you understand where I'm coming from today?
Yeah, really.
So that Syrophoenician woman said, "Hey, I've seen the light from your camp, Lord. I've been in darkness." The Lord said, "Hey, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. But Lord, mine's all molded. And I have seen light in your camp. And at least let me have some crumbs that fall from the master's
hand.
Hallelujah.
The Lord looked at that woman and said, "Great is thy faith. For this thing, thy daughter is made whole."
Hallelujah.
You know what that woman was confessing? By just saying, "Yep, but I want the crumb. If that's all I can have, then I'll take that." She was in effect confessing, "Lord, I'm willing to live by the rules of your camp if you'll just let me live in your camp.
Lord,
I'm willing to go along with your rules. I just want in your camp. That's all." That's what the Gibeonites was wanting. They were wanting security. They saw Israel taking the land. They knew that they were done for. They knew that there was no chance of survival. Make a living, brother. I hear that same story boisterous across the airways today. Let's all join hands. Well, I can join hands with anybody that wants to play by God's rules.
That's right. Glory. That's right.
Hey, now look. Make a league with you. You sure? You get to be a pretty old man. You willing to be circumcised? That's what it takes to be an Israelite. We're willing. Then come on. Then come on. Will you stand with me? Calvary made the difference for all of us. The Lord was circumcised 8 days according to the manner of the Jews, but in adulthood, he was put under water, fulfilling all righteousness. Why? So he could secure both the other side of the cross and this side. Hebrews 11:39-40. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. He didn't say they couldn't be made perfect, but they need what went on this side to really do the job.
Hallelujah.
You want an inheritance? You don't have to be clean. No unclean person has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:5. Would you lift your hands and love God with me like this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory.
Worship God, folks. Worship God.
Told the children of Israel, "You gather 6 days, and on the sixth day you gather enough to carry you through the seventh day."
Hallelujah.
Now we're headed, however the years are figured, we're headed for the Lord's Sabbath.
That's right.
And you know what Moses told them? Said there's no need for you to go out the Sabbath together because there's going to be no manna in the field.
That's the truth.
Now's the time to gather. Don't wait until then. Because there's not going to be any man in the field. This is the time to get it.
Hallelujah. Sing it again. Someone seek God tonight.
Seek
God tonight. Anyone feel like seeking God?
It's
the Lord.
It's
the Lord.
It's the Lord.
Thank you.
was the reason that the Word of God says,